I want to thank God for the privilege I have today to share with us from this same text. I was saying to Sandy, I love the story, I love Ruth, but I'm not sure that I have preached Ruth from, but over the past 1-2 weeks, I've been reading and studying Ruth. And I was quite fascinated by so many things about Ruth. And I felt I should share with us some of the things that I've been blessed by reading Ruth. Ruth is a beautiful love story, and its beauty could easily deceive us into reading meanings that the author had not intended. It's a special kind of love story, and I love so many love stories. But this time in this love story in Ruth, it's not the love between a woman and a man. Interestingly, when you look very hard at Ruth, you discover that it is the love between Ruth and Naomi. And interestingly, the only time the word love was mentioned in the book of Ruth is in verse 15, when they talked about Ruth, your daughter-in-law who loves you. Now, if you've read the book of Ruth, or as Sandy helped us to get up or to speed to understand, Naomi has a husband that was famine in the time of the judges in Bethlehem in Judah. It's crazy, isn't it, that it's called Bethlehem, house of bread, and then there was no bread in Bethlehem. So Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, took his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and then went to Moab to stay. And they stayed long in Moab. The sons of Moab, Mahlon, Chilion, they got Moabite wives. And then somewhere along the line, Ahimelech died, the husband of Naomi. Well, she felt, well, I still have my sons, and they will take care of me. Bingo. The two children died, two boys died. Chilion died, Mahlon died, leaving all three women. Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. They were destitute, they were in need. Nobody, as it were, is taking care of them. Nobody owns them. They do not belong to anybody now. And Ruth heard that the Lord had visited Bethlehem, and grains have come to grow. Harvest is soon. God has blessed Bethlehem. God has blessed Judah with food. No longer famine. The book of Ruth had so many movements, from emptiness to fullness, from famine to abundance. You'll hear so much of kindness and mention of kindness. And also the issue of the king's man, redeemer, we will try to see as we go through this. So Ruth, Naomi decided, I'm going to go back. Now that God has visited, let me go and start my life afresh. The Lord has afflicted me. I've lost my husband. I've lost my two sons. What is there? And I can't take care of these ladies. I cannot. So he pleaded with them to go back, and they refused to return. But after some pressure, Orpah felt, yeah, I think he's wise. Even if he got home today and she got married and decides I had a baby, obviously she was already an old woman. So the chances were not very, very clear. So Orpah took a wise decision and returned to Moab. Ruth decided, I would not leave you behind. I will stick with you. I've married you. I've married your son. Your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. So don't ask me to return back to Moab. I am not a Moabitess. At heart, I belong to the God of Israel. And that's how both of them returned to Bethlehem of Judah. Now you'll be imagining what would be the expectation. It's been a long time they've been away. Ruth had not visited, has not even known the way to Bethlehem of Judah. They've been living in Moab. You could feel that anxiety as they come. I don't know if you've been, if you found yourself in a situation where where you're about to visit a place or about to face a panel for whatever reason, or you've been dating this great person and you are over the moon in love and you've been invited to visit, to meet his or her parents. There is this feeling of awkwardness. You are not sure whether they will approve or not. You feel at all the time that you are being judged. You sit and you're wondering, how is she looking at me? How is he looking at me? What's going on in their minds? And you're not very sure of anything. I do not pretend to know what marriage procedures are in the UK, but in Nigeria and in my place, marriage is a family affair. This is so much more involving, that it's not just that I want to marry a woman. I say, yes, this is the person I want to marry. They will say, oh, congratulations. It doesn't happen like that. It's like the opinions of the parents count. If the mother said, I don't think I like that guy. Look at the way he has a bald head. I am disqualified. Or the father said, oh no. No. It doesn't seem very courteous, does it? I don't. That will become a huge problem, probably a serious prayer concern. And 19 years ago, when Florence arranged for me to meet her parents, I was very apprehensive. I did not know what to expect. Would I be rejected? Would I be accepted? Are they at home with what I do, the way I look, where I come from? Obviously, I'm not tall. Maybe they wanted Florence, I'm taller than her. Maybe they wanted a taller person. And here, this guy shows up. Or probably then I was a staff worker and our salaries were very small and didn't come often. It delays before it comes. And it wasn't much. I wasn't sure the questions they would ask me. So what did I do? Put on my best clothes, my best shoe, a bit of dash of perfume, and then carried on my most humble, respectful demeanor. And I walked. I felt very anxious. Well, the rest is history. I passed the test. I married her. Thank God. But I imagine Ruth would have been feeling the same way, like I felt. Here are the odds against Ruth. She's a Moabitess. The Bible has said, because of what Moab did to Israel, he said a Moabite, a Moabitess, should not be found in Israel up until the 10th generation. And here is Ruth coming. Second, he's a young widow, probably visiting for the first time the land of her husband. Only that the husband is dead. She's not sure what kind of reception she will receive, what the future holds for her and Naomi in Bethlehem. Moreover, Naomi said, God had judged us with famine, and then the hand of God has afflicted me and killed all the men around me. But then they returned in confidence that God, who afflicted them, that God Who is the same unchanging God in the days of the judges had decided to visit? And if you don't know the background, the days of the judges was a bad one, and you could see the situation. Some of the terrible things happened in the history of Israel during the judges. We had priests of God becoming priests of idols. We have somebody making an idol and say, thank God, God will bless me because I've made an idol for him. You have gang rape and all of that in the days of the judges. And the author kept saying, the writer kept saying, because there is no king, Israel did whatever, everybody did whatever was fit in his own eyes. Consistently, you know, we find the traces of the time of the judges still present. Boaz will say to her, to Ruth, please stay here. If you go out to another farm, any of the boys, young men, could harm you. And the mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, it is better you stay in the farm of Boaz, or any of the boys, any of the young men, could harm you. So it still wasn't safe. It was the days of the judges. Naomi says she went full, she has come back empty. Finally, they returned. And everybody calls, oh, is that Naomi? What is going on? He said, don't call me Naomi. Please call me Bitter. Call me Mara. Naomi means sweet, so don't call me sweet and bitter. God has afflicted me. No. But interestingly, the next morning, not in chronological order, Ruth got up and said to the mother-in-law, obviously, I imagine that what prompted her is all about the law, the good laws of God and the faithfulness of God and the laws he has put to take care of the orphans, the vulnerable, the needy, the widow, the foreigners. So she took her faith in her hands and said to Naomi, allow me, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftovers, leftover grains to glean behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. And Naomi said, go ahead, my daughter. So he went out and began to clean in the field behind harvesters. And it turned out that she found herself walking in the field of Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. He sets it up. So he goes out by faith, doesn't know what to, expecting rejection probably, expecting being asked to walk away. But say, if this God is gracious, if this God is faithful, and these people are able to obey his word, then he's likely going to find favor. He's likely going to find grace. And he said, I am going to farm. I'm going to glean behind anyone in whose hands I find favor, in whose eyes I find grace. He goes into the field to glean. She took the initiative. We see Ruth express faith in Yahweh's gracious law, which makes provision for all that are vulnerable. She was not sent away because she trusted the Lord. Here we see a generous God who has a generous people. Amidst the rebellion of Israel in the days of the judges, Ruth's random visit turned out that he stepped into the farm, the field of a man that is related to them, Boaz, a relative of Ahimelech, her father-in-law. What was he looking for? Grace, favor. He's hoping that he will find favor under the shadow, under the wings of the Almighty, of the God of Israel. He was hoping that she would be favored. She will find grace. Verse 2 tells us that was why he set out. And verse 10, Boaz also said, and he also asks, why have I found grace? Why have I found favor? It tells us that her expectations were not disappointed. She was hoping to find favor in God's place, in the land of covenant. He was hoping to find grace. So he gets on, she gets on working, gleaning, until Boaz arrived and greeted all of them. She didn't know who Boaz. All people say, well, that's the big man. That's the guy that owns this field. So, okay, all right. So he comes, the Lord bless you. And they responded to him, bless you also. And then he turns to the foreman. I said, who is that lady? He said, who does that lady belong to? Who owns her? Certainly not in terms of property, but who is taking care of her? To whom does she belong? And the foreman said, well, this woman is Ruth, the Moabitess, who came from Moab with Naomi. From that point, it was obvious that God has showed her favor. It was obvious that she had come unto the grace she has hoped to receive as he steps into the land of covenant. Boaz responds in verse 8 and 9, says, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in any other field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servants. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you the days of the judges. He had to warn the men, stay away from this lady. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get drink from the water in the jar that the men have filled. It indicates that he has heard about how kind Ruth had been to her mother-in-law and came to make sure she is provided for, and was determined to become Ruth's protector and provider. How does Ruth respond? Astonished, with a sense of undeserving, she asks, why have I found such favor in your eyes, such grace in your eyes, that you noticed me, a foreigner? It's important, he is a foreigner, but that, when you read that foreigner, you are not expecting, why have you noticed me, a foreigner? He rings the bell. The first son of Moses, he called him Gershon, because I have been a foreigner in a foreign land. God has given rules and laws and command in Exodus 22. He has told God's people, whenever you glean, because you were foreigners, you were strangers in another land, be nice to strangers, be nice to the poor, be nice to the needy, to the orphans, to the widows. When you glean your field, leave some on the fringes so that they can glean and have enough to feed themselves. And that was exactly what happened. And in the New Testament, Paul was reminding the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians 2 verse 12 that they were foreigners from the relationship with God, from the commonwealth, spiritual commonwealth of Israel. They had no God, they didn't belong. They were outside of the covenant. And that's who all of us were, outside the covenant. Strangers to God, enemies of God, foreigners as it were. But by God's grace, by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he had brought us into that relationship. So we are no longer foreigners. We are people who are called God's people. people. Therefore, Boaz prayed for her. He prays for her for Yahweh's richest blessings to whom Ruth had come to take refuge under his wings, because of whom she had dumped her gods, her people. He blessed him. He blessed her. Boaz made sure that she was generously protected and provided for. So what does she do? She came back with loads of grains, packed probably anyhow. She packed them so that she does not go empty. And she packed so much, and she went, and when she got there, returned home, Naomi was excited. He said, hey, I got into this field. I was gleaning, and when the big man of the field came, I thought he was going to send me away, but he didn't. He rather asked nicely, who does this young woman belong to? And obviously, there was no answer who she belongs to, except to say this is her identity. Ruth, the Moabitess from Moab that came back with Naomi. And from that time on, he decided to show grace. She came with a hope, told the mother, when my mother-in-law, Ruth said, let me go and glean in the farm of anyone that I will find favor in his eyes. He was hoping for God's favor. He was hoping for God's grace. And she found God's grace. She came back with abundance. They came back empty from Moab, empty of children, empty of food. But here, Ruth came from gleaning with abundance of grains, abundance of food. And Naomi began to bless that man. Whoever that man was, God bless him. Such a good man. But then, this woman that has received such amount of grace doesn't even know who this man was, except they told her. I told her what the name. So I said, by the way, whose farm did you visit? He said, his name is Mr. Boaz. I said, Boaz? Wait a minute, did you say Boaz? Boaz is a relation of your father-in-law, Elimelech. And in fact, it's not just that he's a relative. He's so close that he is one of our kinsmen, Redeemer. So he said to her, it's in your interest, you stick with him there. Because when the contest of the kinsman redeemer is part of the levirate practices in Israel at the time among God's people, if a man dies without having children, a relation of that of hers will marry that woman and produce children in the name of the dead person and takes care of her and all her responsibilities. And then he says, stay there. He is one of those that is ably qualified. She had seen a window that this woman, Ruth, that has been kind to me, can be redeemed. Stay there, don't go away. And the Bible said, Ruth stayed with her, with him, in the farm until the end of the barley harvest. He found grace in the land of covenant. He found grace through a kinsman redeemer. He raises a question, how far would that go? At the end of the wheat and barley harvest, what happens next? Well, the rest of the chapters tells us that indeed, Boaz, as a kinsman's redeemer, indeed became the one who redeemed Ruth by marrying her. By marrying her, Boaz provided a place, a home for Naomi and for Ruth. And he brought redemption than Ruth, whose husband died, Naomi, who came back empty. The next two chapters, chapters 3 and 4, tells us that Boaz redeemed her, married her, and through Boaz, Ruth conceived and had a baby. And that baby was given to Naomi and said, "You are not empty again. Your emptiness has been filled. This woman, this daughter of yours that is more than 7 sons to you, has given you a son." Brothers and sisters, we know that all of God's people, through the ages, as they read Ruth, they know and they have come to see that the character of Boaz points forward to our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we receive all of God's gracious provisions, filling our emptiness and ultimately redeemed us by his death and resurrection, making us his own people, God's people, no more foreigners, because he took the responsibility, he took the pain, and redeemed strangers as Boaz took the pain, took the challenge, and redeemed Ruth, and in redeeming Ruth, redeems Naomi. Jesus is our great redeemer, not just a kinsman's redeemer, but our great redeemer, who saves us in the present, provides for us graciously, and his salvation reaches out to the new creation, way, way, way beyond life, beyond death. Our redemption is with him, and he has made adequate preparation for our lives even after death. He told his disciples, "I am going to prepare a place for you. You have a place with me in the present, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I'm ready, I'm done with it, I'll bring you in there, even in eternity." Our Kinsman Redeemer has made provision for us. But like Ruth, who has received such redemption, like Naomi, who have been blessed, it is equally possible for us not to recognize the source of such blessedness we've been receiving. Ruth received so much favor, so much grace, but she didn't know who he was until Naomi said, "He is our relation. He is our kinsman redeemer." Many times, God blesses us in many ways, brings so much blessedness in our lives, and we think it's because I'm good, because I'm nice, because I've worked hard, because the government works well, because of so many things. Shall I remind us that it's because of Christ, our true redeemer? Romans 8 said, "God, who did not spare his only son, but gave him for us all, would he not in him give us all things also?" That's why we have all things. But another lesson from this is the fact that this was in the time of the judges, where rebellion against God hasn't actually stopped. There was still a group, a handful of people who were still faithful to God, who were still following the instructions of Yahweh. Wouldn't it be beautiful? Wouldn't it be, in the midst of the ungodliness and selfishness of our society, would it not be beautiful if the church and church people could decide to choose to live graciously and generously? Then we would be living as people who are in relationship with true Redeemer, with the Holy God, with the gracious God, the God of gracious provision, the God of gracious redemption. Let me pray. Oh Lord our God, you are an awesome God. We can't thank you enough for your many blessings. We can't thank you for saving us, people who are lost, strangers, foreigners from you, without God in the whole world, served our selfishness and every other God that presented itself. But you reached out to us, knowing that we couldn't help ourselves. You came. You redeemed us at a huge cost. Lord, as we reflect on Ruth, Lord, we ask of you that you may make us people who live in the light of your redemption, your gracious act in history, in the light of your blessings and gracious provisions, and help us to be people who, by your grace, will be more gracious, will be more generous, will be more loving, will be happy to help people in need. That the world may see our good works, our acts of charity, our lives of godliness, our faithfulness to God who has called us, and perhaps turn to you in faith. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.